So today we are meeting and having the topic about the Bhakti Sutras, which has been ongoing for the last few months. We touch upon a particular sutra, sacred script, text, and we open ourselves to that higher intelligence of our hearts. And through the opening of the intelligence of the heart, we rekindle the divine love within us. We touch upon something which is very special. You may call it the sweet nectar of divine. And you touch upon this when you're, first of all, quieted down, more present. You become more receptive to receive beyond the word spoken. You receive, even in between words, there is a divine presence there, overflowing. And with a great openness in our hearts, we can begin to taste what it is, this divine love or divine nectar. We rekindle that. And this is why we create these events, so that we can sit in satsang. We meet in a group meeting, and we meet to remember the truth within us. Not what someone else says, but what is heard and listened deeply from within you. Because these words, they're always pointing to something greater inside of you, to something which may have been overlooked or dismissed. Thus, meetings, which in Sanskrit they are called satsangs, has been very popular for thousands of years, where people gathered together and listened deeper. So the topic of today is about listening and celebrating. This is one of the Bhakti Sutras. So I really enjoy these meetings, because it's also like tuning into the present now, what would be something great to speak of. And listening is something that we all need a lot of work to master within us. It is not the listening from our ear that we are speaking of. It's not the listening of the sounds of these words. It's a deeper listening. For a few, you may say, I started to listen from my heart. And how does that feel like within you when you listen from your heart? Because listening is very subtle. Listening is deeper than any feeling or sense even. So we're not even referring to listening to any emotion here in your heart. Now, the listening is way beyond that. It's much more subtle than what you feel, what is tangible. So listening may grab your attention inwardly, and it may bring you to a place of unknown, trying to hear something or trying to receive a message that you may need right now, or questioning yourself if is this the right thing, is this the right decision, and you're trying so hard to listen. Well, what's the best thing to do? Which way, which direction is it? And this listening is even beyond that. It's beyond effort. There's no effort in the truth, because that's what this listening is pointing to the truth, pointing to that which is beyond the beyond. It's pointing, the true listening is a pointer to go further within. And so this thing or something further within that the listening points us to is pointing to the eternal divinity. The eternal divinity within us. So the eternal divinity within us, within you, within nature, within every bird and animal around, it's within, even between us, between me here and you there, so to speak, in between is also divine eternity, is also divine love. And so within that eternal divinity, this is the celebration we're speaking of. This is the eternal celebration that is always being celebrated at every moment. So, to give you an example, when you look at a flower, at a beautiful flower, now that flower, if you look at the flower as an object, you get a certain kind of, this is beautiful, on the surface level. But if that flower you look at, it touches something in your heart. No, it touches which is beyond the appearance of the flower. Well, then you know that flower has completed and reached you. It's fulfilled. The flower is fulfilled because you have seen beyond the appearance of the flower. And beyond the appearance of the flower is the celebration, is the divine eternity, is the divine nectar that you receive when you immerse yourself or see beyond the beyond of that appearance. So in every object, and our mind tends to focus on objects, it dismisses continuously what is in between. You see, you're focusing on me right now, and you may not be aware of the space in between. So we have a tendency to fix our focus upon an object. And because the object then seems so real, we hit a barrier. And it is through the deeper listening that opens our heart, opens our soul, for us to go beyond any appearance and touch upon the eternal divinity. So if you look at the flower and see yourself in it, then you know that that flower has reached its full capacity. It has fulfilled itself because you can see yourself in it. If you are able to look at a bird and realize that what the bird sees through those eyes, what is beyond those eyes of the bird is what is beyond your own eyes, then you know, because what is in that bird is in you. And here we're speaking of beyond the beyond of the appearances that continuously fool us. Appearances create a certain limitation upon ourselves. But the moment we allow this deeper listening to guide us into something so subtle, having the ability to immerse oneself with another, with a nature, with animals, with space, you find out that all that you see is yourself. All that you see is this divine, its love, and its truth. Because truth is purity. That's what the ultimate truth is. It's purity. It's untouched by any distorted mind. It's untouched by any limitation. And so when we look within ourselves and we examine or reflect how we perceive reality, that's a good reflection to show you where you're at within yourself. Because ultimately, this path of love, this the bhakti path, the path of the heart, is for us to remind ourselves continuously to dissolve any traces of separation. And when all the traces of separation dissolve, what remains is this divine eternity as yourself. And it's a recognition, a realization that it's everywhere, whether in a bird or in a plant or in you. It has always been there. So thus, the illusion of duality, of good and bad, the illusion of appearances, these are the distractions we speak of, because they bind us in a way and keep us limited of knowing our essence, our true nature, you know, God in you, as you, because between you and the ultimate creator, the ultimate consciousness, it's the same. It's one and it can't be any other way. So it's only a matter of time until we dissolve all traces that keep us in separation. So we take this into our life experience. We look at the creation. And through the eyes of creation, every moment is a celebration. Whether you are happy now in this moment, or whether you are suffering with some sorrow or sadness, because behind that is already this celebration of your eternal divinity. So the celebration is coming from the core, okay? Because many times this might be a little bit misunderstood, where you know, we try to become more and more spiritual, we try to be more and more positive, we try and become more and more loving, and then we hate even more and more all the unwanted corners within us. We hate it more and more. We try to hide it. We try to put it in corners or else judge ourselves and really struggle with that other aspect. But when you know that divine love, divine eternity is beyond both aspects, both duality, now that's a true celebration. See, the celebration that is within your deepest core, your divinity itself. It doesn't matter if one moment you're happy and another moment you're sad. It doesn't matter, really, it doesn't matter, because you know who you are. And through the happiness or through the sorrow, you see the celebration of life. Now, if that isn't freedom, I don't know what is. Because that is freedom. Freedom is being and knowing through your direct experience who you really are. And whatever is appearing and disappearing and appearing and disappearing, it's all a one part of the whole divinity, which is in the core of everything. So this is a very beautiful sutra to remind us that through this deeper listening, which guides us inwards and closer, beyond the beyond. And from that place, then we can truly, really authentically experience the celebration of creation, the celebration of God within us, the celebration of divine eternity. And it is only from this essence, core place within us that we are then able to see yourself in another, to see you everywhere. Everywhere shines the same divinity, the same truth, the same purity of love. It's no different. So when we go past appearances, when we go past separation, and it dissolves and dissolves and dissolves, well, what is dissolving is all the illusions or ideas we have adopted. It's a good thing when you have a process, you know, don't worry if you're undergoing some challenging process. It's part of evolution. you're moving forward. It's a great thing, isn't it? Because that too becomes quite a resistance in so many people, because we all want to be, you know, spiritual and divine, but yet when the next process comes, such big resistance comes with it, because we don't want to feel it. But why? If you know that that is simply moving through to be liberated, to be released out of your consciousness, then it's a beautiful thing. It's a celebration. Even the most challenging sensations in your body that you experience, it's a celebration when you remember that this is a part of the evolution. How else is your soul going to evolve? How else is your consciousness going to expand? So the path of love, the bhakti path, you know, any yogi, bhakti yogi would say, surrender to God, surrender with love, through love, and keep surrendering all the resistances, all those fight or flights where you just want to run away from the truth of the present, or you want to escape it, but through love, which is highly supportive, you can surrender into anything greater, not anything less, but anything greater. So we have to remind ourselves that everywhere we look, everywhere we see, it's already divinity. And it's a matter of time until we dissolve what's in our way that keeps us from not seeing the truth within. And the bhakti path is very simple as a practice, but very hard to maintain it, so to speak, because it's a continuous practice of letting go. It's a continuous practice of living the celebration of life and knowing you are not in control. Because you're never in control. You see, when we are successful, sometimes we have a mission or a task, and we succeed in it. What usually happens is that, my cat's just got scared. What usually happens is that we think we've done it. Yes, you know, I did it. It's because of my efforts that I've succeeded, isn't it? We get that kind of gratification. But you remember any times in your life when you wanted to do something and it just didn't happen? You put so much energy and effort in it and it just didn't happen. Then you may blame it on your destiny or something, but do you recognize that on a deeper level, everything is already happening, whether you like it or not, or whether you wish for it or not? There is something much greater moving through us. It is not us. Out of the mind, us, I'm speaking, that we are controlling and navigating through this life. See, what is happening, what has happened, because it had to happen exactly that way, whether you liked it or not. So ultimately, you're not in control. You've never been in control, although you wish it to be so. There is a greater force, a higher intelligence that moves us in certain ways, so we grow, so the seeds sprout, so that sprout grows as a tree and it strengthens and ripens into fruits. And the way that functions and works is not by any mental or ego state. It happens because of something much, much greater. And this is why some things happen in our lives and other things, they don't happen, because they're not meant to happen. They're just not meant to happen. So here we're speaking of a deeper trust, an authentic trust. Where is that trust within us? Are we trusting a day or a moment just because we feel good about ourselves and we're like, yes, I trust the universe or something like that? But the moment the world turns upside down, you lose your trust and it's nowhere to be found. The deeper trust, the authentic trust, is in that place of listening, which points into the direction of your eternal divinity. And whether you know it or not, that is the direction where you must anchor your trust to. Because from here, then anything is going to happen anyways. Life is constantly changing and remolding itself, and cycles closing down. Yes, you lose something every time a cycle closes down. But every time that cycle closes down, a new cycle is opening. A new door is opening up for you. No matter how, you know, challenging the feeling of loss is, there is always something greater coming up. How else would that happen if the other cycle wouldn't close down for you? But we're so attached, we're so stuck upon what we know and we want to grab and keep. But when we loosen up those grips, you may experience a bit of fear or anxiety or shakeup, but all you can do in that moment is once again remember of that inner listening. Because it's there and beyond where you once again remember that a wakefulness of that celebration of divine. So everything we see changing and happening, and whatever in any shape and form it's happening for you, it's not about that. It's about what's in its core of it. And once you are able to touch upon the core of everything, then that is the liberation, then that is the freedom that belongs to us as who we really are. And it doesn't matter how things happen, how things unfold, because you are here where you truly belong. So behind every activity, any pleasant activity, any unpleasant activity, or chaos, or harmony, I'm showing you the dualities of everything. There is always the one divinity. And this is the reference of this sutra. It's reminding us, pointing ourselves beyond pleasant, beyond unpleasant, beyond harmony, beyond chaos, there is one divinity. So everything else then is seen as a play of life. It's a game. Don't take it too seriously. We take this game so seriously. So loosen yourself up a bit. Touch upon your playfulness, touch upon that child in you. Remember that aspect in you. Become more spontaneous, because these are the qualities that help you to be authentic and be real. It helps you, it reminds you that this life is a game, it's a play. It's always changing. It's always coming and going, appearing and disappearing, and it's going to go like that for forever. It's going to keep going like this. Why do we give so much to it? Why do we suffer so much? Because we're attached so much to the game. We're focusing our attention in the wrong direction. When we focus the attention inwardly by listening to that, you know, the wholeness, I'm speaking of the wholeness of our being. When you listen from the wholeness of your being, then you tap upon the true celebration of the one creator that you are a part of, the whole. So it's a lot to digest here, because it might sound crazy for a few if I tell you, well, look at the flower and see yourself in it. Look at the leaves and see yourself in it. What about the roots, which are unseen? There is you there too. Everywhere is all you, all of it, all of it. But for us to really experience that, which it is possible to experience that, we simply need to dissolve any illusions of separation. That's all. That's all is in the way. It's a disillusionment. And one way to start off by realizing that all that you see around you, there's you in every core of it all. And what appears is coming and going and changing, but that's the play of the universe. That's the Leela. So do not take that so seriously. Start becoming the dancer of this universe. Become the, enjoy the play. Enjoy the play. Don't be serious upon the play, because when you're serious, there are some attachments there. But when you take it so lightly, of this ever-changing phenomena we experience here, seeing the duality of everything, oh, it's a play. It's a play of life. Then we do not take it so seriously anymore. Then you know, you're in tears of joy. You can be in tears of sorrow. It's okay. It's fine. Because deep in your core, you know, all of it is you already. So there's nothing to push away or nothing to pull towards you. Allow everything to be free as it is and see everything as it is, as it already is. And this is where we can then start to experience this joy that is found in the infinite, in the one that is usually unseen by many. And it's the most important to see once again, to remember once again, because without that truth and divine, then something big is really missing in your life. very big. And then we realize that the nature, the environment we're in is always supportive to us, for us. Why? Well, because divinity is there. Whatever we go through, challenges or not, they're all there for you to uplift you, to show you what you're not, and to remember what you are. And to also see that in all opposition, in all duality, it's already encompassed. Within its core, it's already divine. It cannot not be, because it is the one God's consciousness, and everything is within it, so it's already whole. There's nothing to fight, there's nothing to run away from. It's all love in its deepest level. It's all love, it's all you. How can it not be? It's impossible. So that's how then the matrix starts to dissolve. The matrix is not just on this 3D level. You know, every dimension is a matrix of its own, has its own programmings of its own. But going right into the core of our divinity, that is beyond all matrices. And this is why it's essential for us to really know that. Then we are able to live in a more harmonious and rhythmic, beautiful rhythm with nature, with life, without struggles, because struggles is not what you're processing. Struggle is the resistance you have for it. And if it's already in divine already, it's already in God already, why would we want to resist it? So love is always encompassing it all. And the more we can surrender, meaning just allowing it to be there, acknowledging it, encompassing it with love. And it's okay, this moment is like this. Next moment is going to be different. So that will help to start transcending the struggles that one may experience in life.